The Doug Wright Show. Top newsmakers only Doug has access to.
Answering questions only Doug can ask.
On KSL News Radio.
Well, I'm looking at these headlines. This one, front page, USA Today. All eyes on militia standoff in Oregon. History of fight with the feds. Then there's this this headline. Armed groups leader in federal building. We will be here as long as it takes. Then there's this one from BuzzFeed.com. And, you know, I knew based on the Bundys being involved in this, and not only in this one, but in the ride in the canyon here in the state of Utah, and also over in Nevada, this headline from BuzzFeed, you need to understand Mormonism if you want to understand the Oregon standoff. And so this is a unique story, to say the least. Now, the first thing I thought of is, how do the feds deal with this? How, when something like this is unfolding, and then when something ultimately is prosecuted, how is it dealt with? And when we put in a phone call to our U.S. Attorney for Utah, John W. Huber, very kind to agree to join us, and we won't be able to, of course, comment on specifically what is happening up in Oregon or specifically what transpired down in Nevada, but we can talk a little bit in general what this poses for U.S. attorneys and for those who are to uphold federal law. And Mr. Huber, I really appreciate you joining us today here at KSL. Maybe we could just first of all revisit what unfolded with the illegal ATV ride up the canyon down in San Juan County. When a confrontation like that happens, and it's almost as if a point is being made, some might call it civil disobedience. I don't know what term we can directly associate with it. Some just say simply it's breaking the law. How do you deal with that from a federal government point of view?
Well, thank you very much, Doug, for having me on the show. These situations are very delicate and very unpredictable. With our own experience in Recapture Canyon back in 2014, it was perhaps even more delicate and fragile than people understand now, or understood then for sure. We all have deeply held, or many of us have deeply held, political beliefs or philosophies. But when it comes down to it, we are still a nation of law and order, and that is the safe shelter that gives all of us a chance to share our opinions, our beliefs, and our political actions.
Often this comes up, unfortunately, and when I see a headline like this, you need to understand Mormonism if you want to understand the Oregon standoff. And what you just said, I happen to be a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and you know, while I have various opinions on things, also, when it comes to states' rights, federal land, things of that nature, I always go back to the 12th Article of Faith, where it simply says, we believe in being subject to kings, presidents, rulers, and magistrates in obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law. And I always hate it when I see these headlines that say, well, if you want to understand what's going on in Oregon, you have to understand Mormonism. Well, you know, in the 12th Article of Faith, it makes it pretty clear.
Well, that's interesting. You know, when the Lyman sentencing, the ATV recapture sentencing happened a few weeks ago, one of the remarks I made was not only talking about the founding principles of our nation, and that being the rule of law, law and order, the Constitution that protects us all, but I also mentioned the historical legacy of our state in Utah. And it's interesting that you remark on the tenet of a tenet of the predominant religion in the state of Utah. And our legacy here is one of the rule of law. And we expect and we rely on people to honor the rule of law, to abide by it, and to respect other people's opinions within that safe shelter.
There is a common denominator that we're seeing in Nevada and in Utah and up in Oregon now, and that is the Bundy family. And again, I know you can only comment directly on what has transpired in the state of Utah, but do the dynamics change when there is that common denominator and there are state lines that are being crossed, recruiting is being made. I remember in the situation in Nevada, the calls were made for people with like-minded thoughts to actually come to the Bundy Ranch. Does that dramatically affect what your responsibilities are, what direct law enforcement on the ground's responsibilities are?
You bet, Doug. And as we reflect on Recapture Canyon and the disorder and the chaos that that event was, on the small scale that it was very close to becoming one of these more troubling encounters and confrontations between law enforcement and armed extremists. So back in 2014, the Recapture Canyon ride was on the heels of the Bunkerville or Bundy Ranch incident in Nevada. And it would be too strong to say that the organizers of the Recapture Canyon ride invited or solicited their participation. It would not be an understatement to say, or an overstatement to say, that they were welcomed. And so some of the same characters you see in Burns, Oregon, and in Bunkerville, Nevada, were right here in southeastern Utah at the Recapture Canyon ride.
I remember in Bunkerville, and somebody who went on and committed heinous acts was there and was actually interviewed by the press. And I get concerned how volatile these situations can become. You mentioned how tenuous the situation was here in the state of Utah. And I remember one picture specifically of Clive and Bundy's son. I can't remember which son it was right now. But he was riding up on his ATV and no helmets. I looked at the kids that were improperly seated on that vehicle. I look at no protective gear at all, just ripping up that. And I thought, oh, my goodness, on every level, this is troubling. And again, it doesn't matter how I feel about federal rights versus states' rights or federal lands versus local ownership or whatever. I just looked at the irresponsibility of the ride itself that made me angry as somebody who enjoys recreational vehicles and wants to preserve the rights that we do have.
Well, and frankly, that's the tip of the iceberg of the issues we had in Recapture Canyon. Behind the scenes, law enforcement, the federal, state, and county sheriff level knew that these armed extremists were coming to Recapture Canyon. And we went to great lengths to work together to come up with a coordinated law enforcement plan that was designed to avoid conflict. Because these people, the characters who were in Recapture Canyon, these extremists, the armed extremists, I'm not talking about the majority of the people who were there, but the ones who were in Burns, Oregon, the ones who were in Bunkerville, Nevada, they've got a chip on their shoulder. And it reminds you of when you were in junior high or high school and the kid who just wanted a fight. And he's wanting someone to knock that chip off his shoulder so that he can do something and feel justified. When they came to Recapture Canyon, they came with that chip on their shoulder, and it took a lot of restraint and a measured response from federal, state, and county law enforcement to avoid an armed confrontation that these people were seeking in southeastern Utah.
Yeah. It's interesting, as you talk with some of the local law enforcement, you read some of the comments of the local law enforcement, and again, many of them could be described as good old boys themselves. You know, people have very strong feelings, but the bottom line is they are directly responsible for upholding the law and keeping the peace. And boy, it's amazing how many of these folks, again, who are right there on the ground, regardless of what their views might be on federal lands and everything else, they're just holding their breath to maintain the peace.
In Utah, we are so fortunate to have excellent law enforcement professionals from San Juan County to the FBI to even the BLM who work very hard and they work very well together to keep us safe. It is our commitment in Utah to do everything we can to keep this armed extremist element at bay and away from our peace-loving citizens.
Mr. Huber, I can't thank you enough for joining us here at KSL. We appreciate your time. If you don't mind, I think our producer, Cassie, would like to chat for just a second off the air. But thank you so very, very much for being our guest. I appreciate your time and your thoughts.
It's my pleasure, Doug. Have a great day.